Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The COVID-19 pandemic has upended education in so many ways. And what we're just learning more about now is its impact on college applications and specifically for financial aid. In his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org, contributor Larry Nagengast reports financial aid applications have slowed and examines some of the new challenges students and their families face that are fueling that trend. He joined me earlier this week to tell us more about what he found. So tell us a little bit more about this trend we're seeing with college financial aid applications. What do we know about this, and why is it significant?
Well, on a national level, I read the other day that the filing the FAFSA applications is down nationally by 9% from last year. For Delaware Public Schools, the drop is a little bit smaller, from 42.7% in mid-February of 2020 to 37.8% at the same time this year. Now, that figure puts Delaware slightly behind the 39% filing rate for public school seniors nationwide. It's pretty close to the norm, though. As for the significance, well, if fewer students are applying for financial aid, it also means that fewer are applying for college. So colleges, which took a significant enrollment hit in the current year, are looking at a lean 21-22 academic year as well. Now, with fewer applicants, maybe it will turn out to be easier for this year's high school graduates to get into the college of their choice. But if they don't apply for financial aid, that's going to mean that more scholarship money is going to be left on the table.
And this data that we're talking about, it comes from the Delaware FAFSA Tracking Initiative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that initiative and who's behind it?
Well, the Tracking Initiative dashboard is the result of a collaboration between Teen Sharp, which is an advocacy group that helps prepare low-income and minority students to gain admission to high-quality colleges, and the Delaware Data Innovation Lab, which is a new nonprofit organization comprised of data analysts, and they're doing the number crunching. In brief, what happened here was that Teen Sharp recognized that this low FAFSA preparation issue was something that seemed to be a national problem, and they asked the Data Innovation Lab to examine what's happening in Delaware. The data people then combined information from a federal financial aid website and the state's open data portal to create this dashboard that lets you see and compare FAFSA completion rates over the past 2 years at all of the traditional public and charter high schools in the state. They don't have any data on the dashboard from private schools because it's not compatible. All of the private schools' data is not entered into the state's open data portal, so they're unable to draw comparisons there. So that's why it's strictly for the Delaware traditional public and charter high schools.
So let's dig in a little bit more here. This issue we're seeing with the decline in applications, is it purely a pandemic-driven issue?
Well, you know, the easy answer here is yes. Well, because everything seems different this year, and the pandemic is what's making the biggest difference in our lives. You know, but there are still a lot of little reasons that compound each other and fit into this broader blame the pandemic meme. For instance, remote and hybrid learning are now in place at many high schools, so students might not be in their buildings for more than a day or two a week. That means that counselors have a harder time tracking down seniors to help them out, and it's not as easy to go over a college application, let alone a financial aid form, when you're communicating via Zoom or FaceTime. Also, since colleges are operating much like high schools this year, with lots of remote learning and fewer people on campus, this year's high school seniors are wondering what college might look like in the fall and whether it's better to apply or take a year off. And the pandemic has eliminated a lot of jobs, so many families might feel that they might not have the money for college. I could go on, but you get the picture. A lot has changed, and much of it seems related to the pandemic.
And just to give people some context, while college applications take some work, they are somewhat straightforward compared to the FAFSA application for financial aid, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You know, your typical high school senior won't have any trouble filling out a college application, although many of them will wind up sweating the essays that some of the colleges ask for. But, you know, financial aid is a much different beast. You need information from tax returns and how much money the family has in the bank and how much it has in other investments. You know, is there child support income? Does the student qualify for free or reduced price lunches? You know, an adult really has to fill this out. And, you know, as someone who did this for 14 or 15 years, I can assure you that it's not a lot of fun. In fact, the only time I ever enjoyed filling out a FAFSA form was the year that I knew I'd never have to do it again.
And so, like so many other issues, this issue with aid applications is one that seems to have a disproportionate impact on minorities and low-income families, correct?
Yes, we're definitely looking at a disproportionate impact on those groupings, although I would broaden it a bit and say that this is really a major issue when the student who's applying is the first generation in the first generation of a family that is applying to college. First generation college families haven't experienced this process before. They're less likely to know deadlines. They're less likely to know how the system works. There's so much to know, and because there's so much to know, they really don't know how much they don't know.
So what is the state doing to try and help out in this situation to maybe smooth the process out a little bit for people?
Well, I think one of the interesting pieces that I learned about this week, and this isn't new, it's been going on for at least 5 years or so, is that every 2 weeks, the federal government gives the State Department of Education a list of all of the public school students who have filed their FAFSA form already. And again, this list is broken down by school. So the higher ed office people at the Department of Education take that list by school and send it to the college counselors at each building. The counselors then check those names off against their own lists of students who said that they were going to apply to college. The counselors are able then to figure out who has filled out the FAFSA and who has not, and they reach out to the students who haven't filled out the form yet. They give them a reminder, and they also tell them where they can go, what they can do to get help if they need some to fill out the form.
So who else is out there that's trying to help out students and their families beyond the state and the schools themselves?
Well, the most significant partner in this process is an organization that's called Stand By Me Delaware. And Stand By Me Delaware is really a multifaceted financial coaching operation that was created by the state and the United Way of Delaware. And it has drawn support also from many of the state's most prominent businesses, banks, and other large corporations as well. One of Stand By Me's main programs is one that shows families how to pay for college and help set them off on their way in that direction. Now, there are two key pieces in this effort. First, Stand By Me runs an evening program at just about every public high school, so students and their parents can learn the details of the financial aid process. And the second step is arranging appointments with families so that a financial coach can sit down and spend an hour helping the families fill out the FAFSA form. Now, until this year, obviously, all of these sessions were held in person at the schools. This year, Stand By Me has had to pivot and move all of its programming online. Now, from what I'm hearing from school counselors, moving these assembly-type programs online has been good for many parents because it means that they're not locked into having to go to a specific school on a specific night to hear the presentation. But the appointments for filling out the FAFSA can be a little bit more challenging for two reasons. As I've indicated earlier, it's harder to look at family financial documents virtually, and whether you're using Zoom or FaceTime, whatever. And some families still don't have computers or reliable internet access.
And what other programs are out there that offer help to families with this financial aid process? I assume that there are a fair number of them.
Well, yes, there are. I mean, one of them is something called Delaware Student Success, and this is an a Department of Education website, actually, and it puts students on a college preparation path in seventh grade, and it guides them through all the steps that they should be taking all the way through high school. You know, and then there are a lot of out-of-school, after-school, weekend-type programs that assist students on their path to college. Groups like Delaware College Scholars, which is an acronym, L-Y-T-E, and Teen Sharp, and they all offer extensive mentoring and guidance from the middle school level right up through high school. And Teen Sharp, in fact, is partnering with the University of Delaware Admissions Office on a college admissions workshop that's scheduled for March 31st, and my article does have a link to how to apply and sign up for that workshop as well in the story.
Your story also mentions some reasons that low-income families sometimes give for not wanting to even fill out the FAFSA application at all. Can you tell us a little about what those are?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, one line the counselors sometimes hear, and I'll have to admit that this isn't just with low-income families, is that, you know, if the parents have split, dad doesn't want mom to know how much he's earning or how much money he's got in the bank. You know, and then you've got parents who just are reluctant to share the details of their financial situation with their children. You've also got some adults who, you know, haven't filed their tax returns. I mean, some people don't file tax returns. And then there are others, especially those who are immigrants, who are concerned that whatever they write down on that form might have an impact on their ability to stay in this country. And that's whether you're a legal or a not so legal immigrant, that can be a situation. So anyhow, there are a lot of excuses for not filling out the form. But if you don't fill out the form, that's a sure way of denying your child the opportunity for financial aid that would most certainly make a difference in being able to pay for college.
The only good news is something that you alluded to a little bit earlier, and that is that colleges want applicants at this point. So there is some incentive for getting this done, right? Is that a common message you hear, that this is worth the effort because you can go to college?
Well, yes. I mean, the bottom line, literally and figuratively, is quite simple. Just as the FAFSA filings are down this year, so are college applications. You know, I mean, I haven't seen definitive numbers on how far down they are, but in any case, in this situation, it might be easier to get into college this year. And if you're thinking about going to college, even if you're not sure whether you're going to go or not this fall, it's best to get moving right now and fill out the FAFSA. There's scholarship money out there, and much of it is based on financial need, and you've got to fill out the FAFSA form if you want to get your piece of any of that financial aid.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingale for his time this week. His piece on college applications and financial aid is available at DelawarePublic.org. And we close out the Green Next with Arts Playlist, where we meet the new executive director of the Delaware Art Museum. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.